This is the Criminal Law Podcast on the topic of felony murder. And in looking at murder, the distinguishing characteristic between the different levels, first-degree murder, second-degree murder, involuntary manslaughter, and negligent homicide, is the defendant's intent. In each of those situations, you do have the person causing the death of another, but for first-degree, it's premeditation. Second-degree can be intentional or at least abandoned and malignant heart, depraved heart, this extreme recklessness and indifference to the value of human life for second-degree. Involuntary manslaughter would be recklessness, and then negligent homicide, either ordinary tort homicide or at least some higher level of unreasonableness short of recklessness. Felony murder is proof of murder without reference to any intent to kill. So it covers unintentional killings, accidental killings even, that take place during the course of and in furtherance of a felony. So it allows the prosecutor to obtain a murder conviction without proving any intent for murder, but only the intent for the underlying felony. Now, under the common law, of course, because murder was a felony, if someone died during the commission of a different felony, well, you would have the same penalty assessed, which would be death. Now, this rule was taken into the United States from England and has now developed really as a second very important avenue for proving murder. It's not different from other types of murder, first degree or second degree, but in a sense, it's a different avenue, a different theory, or even, if you will, a back door into proving murder where the government doesn't have to prove intent. But of course, if it has evidence of intent, it can still go that way. This is not a mutual exclusive theory showing the defendant acted intentionally or a felony murder theory, but they can be very much alternative theories of liability for murder. Now, in the states, and in the common way that felony murder is understood, is that it is a type of second-degree murder. So when you look at second-degree murder, it would be intent without premeditation or abandoned and malignant heart, depraved heart murder, or felony murder. However, most states, virtually all of the states, have in their homicide statutes, they will have the death occurring during the course of certain specified felonies, that will make the crime first-degree murder. So if you look, for example, at the California statute, California identifies certain crimes that if there's a killing during those offenses, then that will mean liability for first-degree murder. If it's not one of the listed offenses in the statute, then it would be second-degree murder. Now, felony murder requires what? Well, that there be a killing during the course of a felony, and that can be not only the actual commission of the felony or an attempt to commit the felony. So it's important to note in there that even if the felony does not take place, the robbery doesn't occur, the rape or the kidnapping or whatever it is, but if there is sufficient evidence of an attempt to commit that felony and then the killing occurs during that period, then that can be sufficient. So it has to be during the course of and in furtherance of the felony, and which means what? That there has to be some relation to the felony. And importantly, in furtherance of the felony includes flight. So that would be the time even after the completion of the felony, the completion of the robbery, and during the flight, in driving away from the bank that was robbed, and a pedestrian is hit as the car peels away. That could be sufficient for felony murder. So it's an it's a killing during the course of and in furtherance of the felony. There are important limitations that the courts have recognized. Some courts in some states have recognized. This is an area where the courts don't like felony murder because it really is viewed as a way to get very substantial penalty, including potentially death, without proving the defendant intended to kill. And of course, that's also going to mean what? Well, if it's felony murder, would heat of passion play a role? The answer there, of course, would be no, that it's during the course of an in furtherance of a felony, you prove the intent for the underlying felony, you would wash away, for example, any type of defense involving heat of passion. So courts don't like it. Legislatures do. What are some of the limitations that are recognized? Well, the felony itself has to be something that is inherently dangerous. Courts have recognized that they're given the large number of felonies today on the books, that not every felony should trigger liability for second-degree murder. So in the Hines case, you have the issue of whether the felony of being a felon in possession of a weapon, Hines had been convicted of a crime before, was not supposed to be in possession of a weapon, and in fact he goes out hunting and shoots his friend, certainly accidentally, but is he guilty of murder because he was at the time of the commission of that crime a felon in possession? Well, is it inherently dangerous? And the issue there is, how do you look at inherently dangerous? Is it an objective test? Do you ask, is this felony always dangerous to human life, or at least present some real threat to human life, or is it more of a objective test, or at least a circumstantial test? Look at the circumstances of this particular crime. And the states certainly divide. You can see that in the Burroughs case, California argues for and takes the position that it's an objective test. Look at this. Is it always going to present at least a reasonable threat to human life? Whereas Fisher says, you always look at that. Is this something inherently dangerous? But also consider the particular circumstances of the offense. In Hines, the court found that that was the felon in possession of a weapon was sufficiently dangerous in the circumstances here too, so that Hines could be held liable. So a completely accidental killing, one that you would say is certainly at least a negligent homicide, and possibly even you can make a reasonable argument for involuntary manslaughter, much tougher to bring it up to the level of second degree, that extreme recklessness, indifference to human life. But now, of course, with felony murder, you don't ask any of those questions. Was it during the course of it in furtherance of the felony? That is sufficient. Another limitation that the courts recognize, these are legal arguments to try to avoid liability. So it would be on a motion to dismiss or after a verdict. Normally, this is not something that's argued to the jury. The jury just needs to find that it was during the course of and in furtherance of the felony. In the Contreras case, you have the Nevada Supreme Court identifying this issue of merger, that if the felony that is the basis for the felony murder charge is so close to the killing that in fact then those crimes merge together, that you can't use the felony as your vehicle to establish the intent or to establish murder, that you have to prove intent. Now, of course, in Contreras, here's where they break into the hotel room with clubs and beat on the victims, and one of the victims dies. Could you establish second degree and possibly even first degree? Certainly, but you have to prove the intent of the defendants. And the argument here is that the burglary, the breaking and entering of a dwelling place at night with the intent to commit a felony, that's so closely related to the killing that they should merge. The Nevada court rejects merger, saying, look, our legislature has identified burglary. Any burglary means first degree in this particular case. California had been the leading jurisdiction in arguing for merger. Of course, the courts are divided, but it's an argument that can be made. Then two other limitations that here, they are not completely separate, but one is, and this is from the Sofophone case, is agency. That the person who is responsible for the killing must be either the actual killer, the defendant, or someone affiliated with the defendant. So in this case, you have the co-felon being shot by a police officer. There was no conduct by an agent of the defendant's Sofophone that occurred. Another limitation is also causation, that the crime has to cause the death. So you're looking for some connection between the criminal activity and the particular killing. So some states will apply agency very strictly and say it has to be just a co-felon. You can have situations, though, in which in the gunplay that perhaps a co-felon is killed, and the other courts do not apply agency as strictly. Causation is an analysis of how closely related is the particular crime. Are you liable for every crime that occurs at some point in time in relation to the particular felony? Now, there are states that have taken a much broader view here, and the Oklahoma statute that's in the notes after the Sofophone case takes a very broad approach, that it's murder in the first degree, regardless of malice, when the defendant defendant or any other person takes the life of a human being during the commission of a felony, or it results from the commission of a felony, so a particular identified felony. Well, that's a wide range there. You're looking at what is in this particular under this particular statute, what is during the commission of the felony. Not all crimes take place in a short period of time. For example, drug trafficking could take days, weeks, even months. Every killing or death that results from that particular crime, does it include only intentional killings? It doesn't say that. It's any killing. So even accidental deaths could come within this particular provision. So legislatures do like this, and you have some fairly broad interpretations that extend felony murder to cover a wide range of crimes.